Howdy, hey, my name's Zach. Welcome to my podcast. I'm usually not one for outspokenness, but I think I can help you as I have a proficient insight into emotional intelligence and how we can practically apply it into all of our lives. I'm honestly too self-aware for these trailers, but I really would appreciate it if you can pop in for like 5 minutes on one of my podcasts and maybe you'll learn something. What's going on, guys? My name's Zach New. I just wanted to test this mic out. I recently bought a Yeti, but I wanted to test my phone's app, you know, just take it for a run as well. I wanted to talk about Spider-Man No Way Home because it was such an epic journey. It blew away my expectations entirely. I thought it was going to be the MCU classic, lights and flashy heroic moments, but it had so many layers, and I wanted to get into that. So it addresses Peter Parker from three different universes that we, the fans of the series, have seen already. Spider-Man, played by MCU's Tom Holland. The Amazing Spider-Man series, Andrew Garfield, and the iconic Tobey Maguire. Man, that was just a masterpiece, and so much of the dialogue was unscripted. I can't even tell you how perfect it was. Spoiler warning, I know a lot of fans have still not seen Spider-Man No Way Home, even though they really should have. It came out before the new year. But anyway, I'm telling you now. So, essentially, the MCU's adaptation of Peter Parker faces up against different enemies from different multiverses. And these enemies are basically new. They're not new. They're the same actors, and they play the same roles as they did in the previous Spider-Man movies. I recommend anyone watch all of the previous Spider-Man movies in the entire franchise before watching Spider-Man No Way Home, just so you're not confused and so you can fully appreciate the magic this movie dishes out. Long story short, Doctor Strange pulls over these characters from the other Spider-Man movies who fight the MCU's version of Peter Parker. And it even pulls the previous Spider-Mans over, the actors. And man, is it so good. Anyway, Doctor Strange wants to send all the villains back to their original timelines where they will inevitably die. Because they all died fighting Spider-Man, or at least their version of Spider-Man. And of course, the goody-two-shoes he is, the MCU's Peter Parker does not want to send them back to their own multiverse to die, fighting his alternate version of himself. So that's a predicament. They're too dangerous to stay in his universe, but he doesn't want to send them back to die. And the plot I really wanted to get into was Peter Parker is still a kid. You know, he's 16, 17, around that age. And the theme is that he's very naive and he has a relatable boyish idealism about him. He wants to help everyone. And this essentially risks the fate of the whole universe, his universe, by keeping those guys around. And they all have mental disorders and they can all be helped. But he doesn't understand how many lives are going to be taken if they go off the handle. And Aunt May even ends up dying in the movie because Peter doesn't want to send them back, even after they go on a rampage. And just rolling back to the theme here, he's, in my personal opinion, he's way too idealistic. And it does come from being very young. But he doesn't understand that it was their fate. They were always meant to die at the point of time that they did die fighting their version of Spider-Man. And he paid the price. He lost his Aunt May because they went on a rampage just like Doctor Strange said they would, just like many of the fans watching the movie said they would. But he was so compelled by the notion that he had to help everyone. It was unbelievable. But though I had to humanize him a bit, I was like that when I was a little younger. That everyone could be helped and that life was a little black and white. But the whole movie, like all the casualties in the movie, could have been prevented if he had listened to Doctor Strange and he had just sent them back to their timelines. We live in a world where people die. They are meant to die. And it's not like these were just some common Joes with some mental health disorders that just needed to be helped out. They were homicidal maniacs, like all of them, many of which didn't even want help. They didn't want help. They didn't want to die either, but they weren't willing to change. And by extension, that really means that they were willing to meet their fate that they did in the original timeline. And again, I'm speaking to people who have seen all of the Spider-Man movies in the franchise. And it's very important to know the history of all of those timelines to understand how insane of a decision it was to keep those guys around. It all stems from the boyish idealism of helping everyone. Progressing forward, he does team up with the other versions of himself, aka Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, who played Spider-Man in their movies. They crossed over with their villains, and they were helping the MCU's adaptation of Peter Parker take down the villains and ultimately cure them. And Peter, he wanted revenge for the death of Aunt May. He was going to kill Willem Dafoe, aka Green Goblin, aka Norman Osborn. He was going to kill him in cold blood right there until Tobey Maguire, the iconic Spider-Man, stopped him. They all had their cute sentiments. I don't mean to say that condescendingly, but it's just that's the best way I can describe it right now. They had their sentiments about resentment, and they told their stories about their loss. Andrew Garfield shared the loss of his girlfriend, aka his Mary Jane from his timeline, how he couldn't save her. She fell to her death because he wasn't fast enough. And Tobey Maguire, we all have heard the Uncle Ben story. Uncle Ben was killed during a robbery, wrongfully, and Flint Marko didn't even mean to kill him. He didn't mean to pull the trigger. It was a mistake. But ultimately, it was such an incredible loss on his part. And he wanted who he felt was responsible dead. And he got what he wanted. But he didn't feel any better. And it wasn't even the right guy. He just thought it was him. And he didn't find out until a few years later that it was Flint Marko who killed Uncle Ben. After hearing these stories, the MCU's version of Peter Parker realizes that he's not alone in his pain. He's not alone in his resentment. Therefore, he knows that resentment is true poison. You know, in the real world, we hear that same saying too, resentment is poison, but that's a lesson that's easier said and heard than it is to be practiced. And some of us kind of take that saying for granted until we're collateral damage in other people's shit. Moving forward, he tries to stab Willem Dafoe, the Green Goblin, in the face with a piece of shrapnel from the battle. And though it was an emotional outburst, he puts down the shrapnel and he realizes that won't bring his Aunt May back. Sure, it was totally his fault that she died in the first place because these guys aren't even from his multiverse. They're from another place where they were a homicidal maniac, and he just let them stay. Not behind a jail cell, not in handcuffs or anything. He just casually let them roll around, and it was so naive of him. But that's not the lesson I'm on right now. I'm on the lesson of resentment. And if you go back to Spider-Man 2, the ending, I would, you know what? I retract that. Spider-Man 3, that ending, when he was talking to the Sandman over the death of his Uncle Ben, Sandman apologized sincerely. Sure, the things he did resembled a bad man, but deep down, he was a hurting child, just like we kind of all are. And he apologized. And you know what? Tobey Maguire, he forgave him because he knew he couldn't get his Uncle Ben back. And you know, sorry doesn't exactly heal, but forgiving does heal. And it was a really emotional moment. And I think Peter Parker did a shit ton of growing up because he realized that his decisions had consequences. People will die, and that will be set in stone. This is not a cartoon where people get resurrected. It's infinite. It's eternal death. In summation, Tom Holland, in character as Spider-Man and Peter Parker, he lost his boyish idealism in that movie. And I don't think anybody expected that. You would kind of think that he lost it through his battles during Infinity War, fighting an alien in outer space, or participating in a war, but no. As a matter of fact, I'm not surprised that he didn't lose like his innocence in those fights because he was just a kid looking for adventure when billionaire Playboy philanthropist Tony Stark says, "Hey, come with me and fight these other villains." As a kid, you're like, hell yeah, no questions asked. Because you just have that adventurous mindset. You like fatality, the notion of fatality hasn't set in yet at that age. And going to space and helping save the universe, that doesn't make you grow up. What makes you grow up is encountering a loss at the hand of a naive decision you've made. And I think that made him grow up a lot. And all in one fell swoop, he also learned about resentment and forgiveness. And I think this is going to be a different Peter Parker going forward in Spider-Man 4, whatever that may be. Yeah, I don't know. They decided to make the whole series a home thing. Like Homecoming, Spider-Man Far From Home, and Spider-Man No Way Home. I don't know what they're gonna come up with. Spider-Man, where is home? Because at the end of the movie, he made everyone's memories be erased because he asked Doctor Strange to erase everyone's memory of him so that people would stop crossing over to look for Peter Parker. And, you know, I don't even need to get into like all the memes that are out there where people say like, oh, he could have just made what's his face? Mysterio. He could just make everyone forget what Mysterio said about his secret identity, and bam, that's how the movie should have ended. Go check out that YouTube channel. It's awesome. It's my favorite. It has millions of subscribers, you know, they're not sponsoring me, even though they should be. They're not sponsoring me. I just want to spread the word of good laughs and good sentiments and good logic.
I watched my uncle die, and we chased down the wrong man. Now you're telling me you have suspicions for 2 years? Witnesses? Why weren't we told about this? No, I have no intention of settling down. This man killed my uncle, and he's still out there.
What do you want from me?
Remember Ben Parker? The old man you shot down in cold blood?
What does it matter to you anyway?
Howdy, hey, my name's Zach. Welcome to my podcast. I'm usually not one for outspokenness, but I think I can help you, as I have a proficient insight into emotional intelligence and how we can practically apply it into all of our lives. I'm honestly too self-aware for these trailers, but I really would appreciate it if you can pop in for like 5 minutes on one of my podcasts and maybe you'll learn something.